Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, a little programming update looking ahead to tomorrow. Just got word that Alex Cora will join us at 3:30. In Minnesota, on the phone.
Love it.
To talk about the impending Joe Ryan trade, hopefully. Since the Twins are selling, we might as well go get a Joe Ryan. Can I make you an offer?
Yeah. Chris Paddock on the move.
Could I make...
From Minnesota.
Yeah, that, they're selling.
They're selling.
Their doors are open.
Absolutely.
And Joe Ryan said he wanted to be in rumors, in speculation. He wanted to be traded.
Honor and a privilege. Basically said, Boston, trade for me.
Absolutely. Christian Campbell, lighten it up. I'm just the pieces... Pieces are falling in place. Might be like a bad puzzle piece where you got to hit it with the side of your hand to squeeze it
in. Yeah, a little square peg round hole. A
little bit.
Yeah.
But it's 5 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. That means it is time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. WEEI Afternoons.
Patriots training camp made a significant step forward today.
All right.
Shoulder pads.
Yeah.
It's real football. Helmets, shoulder pads, full-ish contact, I'll say.
And one of Christian Gonzalez's first steps forward with those pads was one that hurt him.
That's hurtful. That's two steps backwards for the team.
Christian Gonzalez
not out there. Dan Ball is right. After working his way through some drills, special teams drills, individual drills, getting toasted, getting his booty kicked from Kayshon Booty in one-on-ones a couple different times in the red zone.
Nailed it.
Christian Gonzalez was then covering Stephon Diggs in a 11-on-11 drill and pulled up a little lame.
And Diggs is so good that he... No, never mind.
Nope, that's not what it was.
I tried.
you told me the hamstring had actually been building. That's why he was actually slowed and not able to cover Booty.
I still believe that.
Yeah, sure you do. You're at least saying it on the radio anyway. But he then walked off under his own power. You may have even seen some videos from fans online because, you know, in the weird world of the Patriots, reporters aren't allowed to use cameras, but any of the thousands of fans in attendance can and put it on social media. But I digress. You saw Christian Gonzalez go to the... little shack thing they have building down the other end. And so now we're just sort of awaiting word. We'll see if this is a major thing. I mean, my instincts tell me he pulled a hamstring.
Right.
Like, that's what it looked like. No, nothing more, nothing less.
That's where he was favoring while he was walking
Absolutely,
off.
Absolutely. Even a little grabbage of it and that whole thing. What that means, who knows? I use the example of Randy Moss, who missed basically the entirety of his first training camp in New England. Everybody's like, what is he? Is he done? Is he toast? He wasn't good with the Raiders. And he comes out on opening day and starts a historically great record-setting season. Maybe that's what Christian Gonzalez will be. Hell, maybe he's like Justin Fields and he'll be back on the field tomorrow. And we'll be like, oh, you limped off, but you're fine and you're covering receivers again. Okay,
yeah,
cool. We'll roll with it. But it is a big deal just for the team.
Like, yeah.
You have, I asked you earlier to make a list of guys that can't get hurt. And Christian Gonzalez is going to be first or second on most people's list. Yes. Probably second just because the quarterback is the most important position on the field.
Yeah, no disrespect to Josh Dobbs, but yeah.
Yeah, yep. No disrespect to Josh Dobbs.
Okay, that's fair.
And then you go to Christian Gonzalez. He's that important to this football team. All pro, your best player. He's your best player right now. He's not a quarterback, but he's your best player.
Right.
Top 10 corner, top whatever corner. Could he be a dark horse defensive player of the year candidate? So to see him limp off with an injury the first day of pads is a little blow to the letting a little wind out of the balloon, I guess.
Yeah, and it's especially because it's happening for a guy at a position that maybe has the biggest gap between your starting talent and your backup talent. Like your Gonzalez and Davis 1-2 punch should be
Davis. Who's that?
I'm not
familiar. Is that somebody they paid a lot of money to play football?
My understanding is he's a member of the New England Patriots, and he's supposed to play opposite Christian Gonzalez, and now neither of them seem to be active participants in training camp.
So when it was voluntary in the spring, Carlton Davis was riding jet skis at some beautiful locale somewhere.
Yes.
Now that it's mandatory and legit part of his job, we just don't know where he is.
That's right. Yeah, cool, so cool. They're just being a little more conspicuous about it. It's like
it's flex days.
Yeah.
That's what we take around here. Fitzy's got a flex day today. I heard Greg Hill took a flex day this morning.
Yeah.
Courtney did a phenomenal job in the one seat.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. I listened to a lot of that show this morning. She kicked ass and took names.
There you go.
She actually acknowledged it. I don't know if you guys listened, that she gets a little anxious around Greg or stressed out by Greg.
No. No way.
And she was like, I'm just more comfortable. Like, I can just kind of flow and go. And she was still doing the news and all those things.
Yeah.
But she did a great job. Yeah. I was taking notes as a, you know, newbie H1 whatever, chair one.
What'd you learn?
Say less. Let your talent spread the ball around. Spread the ball around. What are you laughing at over there?
I'm just like, this is your first example of that?
Just spread the ball
so
around.
So it's still a work in progress.
Take advantage of the weapons around you. Be a point guard. Yes, Stiz.
Real quick, I was just going to say, so when I got into radio about 10, 11 years ago.
Brag.
Within the first couple months, I was
great
running
story.
The board for Greg.
Oh, God.
You know, for the Hillman Morning Show. Some of the most intense pressure I think I've ever been. I was like sweating. Greg's looking across from you like. It was. Okay. I love that kind of stress, and that's why I love this business, though.
Yeah, but. you're put under pressure. It's what Bill Belichick does to people, right? If you can't handle the pressure, then you're probably not the right guy for the job. Well, Coco did a great job this morning. But, yes, Christian Gonzalez was limited in his ability to practice today. And as we noted earlier, I even got my roster out to make sure we get it right this time. That left room for Marcellus Dial Jr. and Isaiah Bolden to take reps at cornerback. Alex Austin also mixes in. And all guys that have been competitive in recent years, last couple years, have been in that next tier, and you get out there and you're like, oh, he's not terrible. Maybe he has a role with this team. The problem is, the role is supposed to be depth. The role is supposed to be come in the third quarter if Davis or Gonzalez tweak an ankle and you need to play a little bit. The role is not to be both corners aren't out there, and you guys are now our starting cornerbacks. This is going to be something that Ted brought up that we're going to be just talking about is depth.
Yes.
The fact that you're so thin across that first line of the depth chart that whenever anybody goes down, is absent, whatever, it's going to really be magnified that you're taking a jump backwards.
And it's certainly possible to have one of those, say that the three guys that you just listed as the depth at the cornerback position. It's possible to have one of them step up and at least be serviceable in case, you know, for some reason, just in a world where this injury is a little bit worse than we expected. It's possible for one of those guys to be able to step up. But to have both of your starters down and need to fill both of those spots with guys who are supposed to be situational, rotational players, that's why this one kind of catches the eye of Patriots fans. So a lot to follow. I think you're right. I mean, walking off under your own power, it certainly gives the sense that maybe they'll be a little extra cautious, but you won't miss them for that long. But we just can't live in a world where we're talking about the few top-end guys that you have missing any kind of time.
The one thing we didn't have today in Foxborough was any fisticuffs. And a lot of times, first day of pads, first time banging, you've been around each other, whatever, the feeling out process. Somebody doesn't know the tempo, right? The offensive guy goes a little harder than the defensive guy thought he was going to go. And then they start pushing and shoving, and you end up with a fight, punches being thrown. Mike Vrabel talked about it. He didn't expect any fights. He said nobody should be fighting. And then the reporters lured him into telling a story about his rookie training camp with the Pittsburgh Steelers when he told about a fight he was involved in and sort of how it played out within that defense he was on.
I don't anticipate any of that. I want us to celebrate with our team and the defensive unit, celebrate with each other. Offensive unit, get excited and celebrate with each other, not get into the taunting and the things that we would, you know, that we can't have during the game. I think I did. It's a good story about, don't use the fight, but about a veteran player. Greg Lloyd was a very dominant player, imposing figure, and I got drafted in April, and he didn't say a word to me through OTAs, and I'm on the defense, mind you, and so he didn't say a word to me the entire offseason. We go to training camp. There's a fight with me and a tight end, and I'm exhausted after practice, and I see this like shadow come over me as I'm sitting in the locker room, and he's like in his deep voice, and he's like, yeah, the next time you want to come up underneath the face mask. And I was like, you just now are going to talk to me? He's like, yeah, I just wanted to make sure you weren't like a punk, and then I would talk to you. So it's a good example of just a veteran making sure that, you know, rookies kind of earn their stripes, I guess, a little bit. But
I also thought it was an example, and this is not where Mike wanted to go with it, because he kept wanting to minimize the fight. You know, elsewhere he had talked about, you know, you can't fight on the game field. If you fight on the game field, you're going to hurt the team. You're going to be ejected, penalties, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But that's also an example for that brought that defense a little closer. That let Mike Vrabel into the club of the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. And the guy he's talking about, Greg Lloyd, was one of those imposing Steelers outside linebacker types. So there can be, and coaches don't want to hear this, but when the offense fights the defense,
yeah,
it brings the two units together. Doesn't bring the team together.
Right.
It brings the two units together. So there is value in that. There were back in the Belichick days, there were always rumors he paid guys to fight. You know, Parcells, some of those guys, they would pay somebody a couple hundred bucks to start a fight.
I mean, I see that as, you don't want it every single day of practice, but I see that as just a factor of guys competing.
Yeah.
And I don't see it, if it just boils over once, it's 95 to 100 degrees, guys are out there busting their ass, and it's competitive because both units are bringing a lot to the table. You know, usually happens with better teams. I'm fine with that.
And as long as it's with, I'm fine with it too. And I get why Vrabel has to downplay it. You're trying to build a certain mentality.
You don't want
culture.
To encourage, of course, you don't want to encourage.
And
it
also can't be rip a guy's helmet off and then beat him with it or anything like that. You know,
right,
it's the pushing, it's the shoving, it's grab a, it's almost like hockey after, it's every scrum after every whistle in hockey.
Yeah.
Little pushing, little shoving, oh, I push you, somebody else.
As long as it doesn't bleed into assault, then we're fine.
Nobody gets, and don't throw punches. You don't need to throw punches. You're smarter than that. The other guy has a very hard face mask on. You're going to break your hand.
Right.
So,
pushing and shoving, blank you. Yeah,
right.
You're fine.
And then we move along and my teammates think I'm cooler and your teammates think you're cooler and we got a little energy for practice and a little competitive fire, and we're all none the worse for the wear.
I like it.
The Boston Red Sox, they won 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, Fenway Park.
Up to 4-5 after the break.
And I understand it wasn't the top strength Dodgers, and the Dodgers aren't even who they've been in recent years. Mookie Betts missed the first game and a half, and then he played. Not having a good year, he's batting 230-something. Having just a flat-out bad year.
Shockingly bad.
You didn't face their toughest pitchers. Shohei's not pitching full-time. Like, all those things. But you beat the Dodgers. I don't care. Yeah, the Dodgers. They were supposed to be a super team. Everybody was joking in the offseason, oh, they sign everybody, and they get everybody, and they win. You did what you needed to do. It's what Alex Cora has asked all year. Win a series.
You know who you beat, though? You beat a division leader.
Yeah.
That is a good barometer for where you want to be, is if you're beating division leaders and teams you may see in the playoffs, because against Philly, against Chicago, you weren't able to do that. So I'm in on that regardless of what the strengths and weaknesses are right now.
And you stuck it to Dodgers fans because there were a lot of Dodgers fans at Fenway Park. The more I think about it, this is like somebody coming into your house, going in the fridge, taking out the Miller Lite, sitting down, putting their feet up on the couch, and you're like, did I invite you here?
Right.
It's my house. That's my Miller Lite you're drinking, and I'd prefer you not do that. But this annoyed. This annoyed people, and it was definitely interesting to hear at Fenway Park, because normally, you know, when a Red Sox player comes to bat, you hear cheers.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
This weekend, when one of the most popular Red Sox players came to the plate, you didn't exactly hear cheers. Cheers.
Freeman at first. I saw Kim, the second baseman, with Rojas, the shortstop, and Tommy Edman, the third baseman. Are you kidding me? Alex Bregman's getting booed at Fenway Park. This is a Dodgers crowd, period. Pitch to him. He is a little bit high. Of course, the Dodger fan, remembers so vividly the World Series that was won by the Astros, and Bregman was a protagonist in that. The 1-0 is low in the dirt. You don't want to make too much of one night, Mike, but this feeling in this ballpark right now, everything that's going on is disturbing for the Red Sox fan base.
Disturbing for the Red Sox fan base.
There's a word.
Or, as Alex Cora brought up in his post-game comments, maybe disturbing for the Red Sox organizationally and what they've done over the last 4 or 5 years and finished last and not done what they needed to do to build a winner and compete past the All-Star break and the trade deadline. And that's where Alex Cora went, that you have to praise the Dodgers for what they've done.
Getting into October.
They've created a team that gets to October, that wins in October, that wins. We had to watch Walker Buehler get his ring, right? And his jersey, his commemorative jersey the other night at Fenway Park. They have built that culture, and it's a little bit, the comparison for me is we lived this with the shoe on the other foot in a different sport, football, for a long time. The Patriots, who went to every AFC championship game and every Super Bowl and built a winning culture and fans traveled, would take over Phoenix, Las Vegas,
yeah,
wherever they, and Bill Belichick, I give him credit. He has his faults, but Stiz, he would start post-game press conferences or very early on be like, and also need to acknowledge all the Patriots fans that were in the building today, felt a little bit like a home game wherever we were. And those are the similarities. You build a super team, you compete for championships every year, your fan bases invest in being fans, they plan trips and they follow you and they want to see you.
Yeah.
So Alex Cora is right. This isn't a Red Sox fan issue. That was where my first hot take was, and then I realized it was a stupid take.
Well,
I had to listen a little closer.
Cora disagreed with your
take.
Well,
I had to listen a little closer, and he's right. This isn't about Red Sox fans. This is about Red Sox being better, so Red Sox fans make sure they're at the games at Fenway Park because they want to see the better team, the great team, the historic team, whatever you think it may be. So I thought that was an interesting spin from the manager.
Yeah, it's about how Red Sox fans are treated. It's an invest in you, you know, I invest in you, so you invest in me kind of relationship that Red Sox fans are hoping for. And this is the reason that this whole trend is so asinine is because this was also something the Red Sox did for years, built great teams. They called Camden Yards Fenway South for years.
Yeah,
because you travel down, you take it over. Right. It's a great.
Some of it was financial.
Well,
it was cheaper to fly there and watch a game than it was to get tickets at Fenway Park.
Okay. Well, there even still.
Club seats with buffet.
Really?
It was tremendous.
Wow.
It was
so
like
they
$42
was
or
that when they
food
like,
came with it.
When they sucked.
Yeah, they weren't good.
Yeah. Okay.
I also did it at a Ravens Patriots game.
Yeah.
The Saturday night before, we're like, hey, you want to see if we can go over $8? We just bought tickets, walked in, and we stood on the right field. There's like the high wall there.
Yeah.
There's like a little standing point. Just drank our Miller Lights and watched the game. And $8 you could get in for.
Well, there you go. But there's proof positive. Like, all right, yeah, I'll invest and pay and overpay to go to Fenway, but I'll also build a trip with my family to go and watch the Red Sox because I feel like they're investing in the product that I'm seeing as a fan. And that just has not been the case. And that's why you see crowds that have a lot of Dodgers fans, Blue Jays fans, these teams that travel well, they invade Fenway Park.
And this week we are at the crossroads of investing in the Red Sox.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Red Sox investing in this team. Coming up on Thursday's trade deadline, we talked to Tim Healy from the Boston Globe a little bit earlier, and he had an interesting take about what he expects to happen.
But the wild card there is, what do the teams around them do? Because Alex Cora has been loud publicly about this, that blaming the Red Sox second half failures in recent years on why do the Red Sox get worse? Oh, no, it's just the teams around you getting better. So what are the Yankees going to do the next 3 days? What are the Rays going to do the next 3 days? And are they going to totally fall out of it? Are the Blue Jays really running away with the division? What else is the Mariners going to do? They already got Josh Naylor. So it depends on what the teams around the Red Sox do. But as is, I think, yeah, I think they could sneak into a wild card spot.
So Tim Healy thinks, like me, they could sneak into a wild card spot. And that's how I feel about it. Sneak into a wild card spot. I think you then have some horses, assuming that Chapman's back is okay. You have some horses to maybe make a little noise in a short series in the postseason because you have Crochet and Chapman. But I really do think it's all about investing. It's where Cora is. Organization.
Yeah.
And you said it, painted themselves in a corner. They have painted themselves in a corner. You think there are a lot of Dodgers fans there this weekend? If you convince people that you're urgent and you're this and you're that and you're going to get Joe Ryan and all that, and you do nothing, it'll be every team. It'll be the crappy teams. The crappy teams will be selling out Fenway Park. You'll be seeing every kind of jersey out there. And I really don't believe they can sit on their hands. I think they have to invest in this team or we are going to see chaos. And I've been accused on this show of being little gullible Andy and buying into it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
This is the last time. If you do nothing, and yes, if you get a middle reliever I've never heard of that's just mediocre, that's doing nothing.
Right.
If you get a Danny Jansen, that's doing nothing.
Right.
I mean, you got to do something. You got to bring in a top three starter. Yeah, top three starter, just behind Bayo.
Just say the name.
Better
just
than
say
Giolito,
the name.
Joe Ryan.
I don't know why
Joe
you're
Ryan's the number two starter, or you need to bring in 100-mile-an-hour impact bullpen arm where I'm like, wow, you kind of got two closers now.
Right.
Or Yadni Diaz, if you want to do that, I actually include that as a major impact move. Solidify first base, right-handed bat, that whole thing. If you don't do that, I'm out forever.
Okay.
I'm going to burn my jerseys.
Lies.
And the reason why there is some credence to what you're saying is not just you being little gullible, Andy. To your point, it's because we have been told in multiple different ways by multiple different people. We're not just adding pitchers who can start. We're adding starting pitchers of consequence. We're being aggressive. Our aggression that we showed you in January and February when we traded for Crochet and signed Alex Bregman and then before that signed Aroldis Chapman, that is the same aggression that organizationally they have been told that they're allowed to operate with. That's what Sam Kennedy said.
Yep.
That's what he said. And Breslow was the one who told Rob Bradford about not just pitchers who start, starting pitchers of consequence.
Yep.
So every level of the organization has said you're going to do it. Alex Cora just called out the organization for not investing. So if you then turn around and once again lie to your fan base and don't do anything by Thursday, yeah, there's going to be hell to pay. And at a certain point, it's going to end up impacting your bottom line. I don't know how far away that is, because that seems to be the only thing that resonates with them. But yeah, you simply have to not further alienate a fan base that has already been alienated.
Is it me or we've been saying the same thing for 5 years?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But we say it more emphatically. This time we mean it.
This time is different.
We're bad parents. We are bad parents who threaten to ground our kids but never actually ground our kids, and that ruins our kids because they have no discipline. That's what we are. We've been threatening for like 4 or 5 years. This time I really mean it. You screw me this trade deadline, I'm not coming back. And then the next spring they do something and we're like, woohoo, they're awesome. The vibes are cool.
And unfortunately, I think they know that, Stiz. That's the thing.
Isn't that a famous line? I can't quit you. Isn't that Brokeback Mountain or something? I can't quit you.
I don't know. That's actually a movie I have never seen.
I haven't either, actually. I've just seen the line. 617-779-7937. Taking your phone calls next. We see you lining up to talk about the Red Sox, the trade deadline. And I even see a random Ben Simmons call on the screener here. So your call's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But up next, for the final time, Dan Ball, what's trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Red Sox completed the series victory over the Dodgers with a 4-3 win yesterday afternoon. Brendan Bernardino with the win in relief. And Jordan Hicks recorded the final 5 outs to pick up the save. Boston is now 4-5 since the All-Star break. They begin their final series before the trade deadline tonight in Minnesota against the Twins. First pitch at 7:40. Richard Fitz will start opposite Simeon Woods Richardson. Here's your lineup for tonight. Rowan Anthony leads off in left, and it's Alex Bregman at third. Jaron Duran in center. Trevor Trevor Story at short. Masataka Yoshida is your DH, with Carlos Narvaez your catcher, Willier Abreu in right. Seidan Rafaela is at second, and Abraham Toro is at first, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan is tonight at 6:40, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. The MLB trade deadline is on Thursday at 6 p.m. The Braves acquired veteran starting pitcher Eric Fetty from the Cardinals for a player to be named later or cash. Right-hander Seth Lugo and the Royals are finalizing a two-year, $46 million extension, and the Tigers have reportedly acquired right-handed pitcher Chris Paddock from the Twins in exchange for a minor league player. From around the league earlier today, Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase has been placed on non-disciplinary paid leave as part of MLB's betting investigation. Clase is the second Guardians pitcher on leave tied to the investigation, joining right-hander Luis Ortiz. His leave is through August the 31st, as said by MLB in a statement earlier today. And finally, the Patriots completed their fifth day of training camp. Drake May went 5 of 6 with a touchdown. They return to the practice field tomorrow at 10:15. Stay cool this summer with money you found at findmassmoney.gov. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It is a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI at WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember, this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.